Welcome to Just Another Autism Podcast. In this podcast, I, Aileen Lam, take a deep dive into the personal journeys of people in the autism community, from autistic individuals navigating daily life to the caregivers, educators, and employers who support them. Each week, we shed light on the different ways autism shapes life, offering first-person perspectives from every angle of the community. Today, I am pleased to be joined by Kim Bass and Claudia Zevalos. Kim Bass is an American TV director and producer, and recently he directed a film titled Tyson's Run. It's on Netflix and it's amazing, and I hope you watch it. It features an autistic teenager, but I won't tell you more. I'm going to let them tell you more about it. Thank you so much for joining me, Kim and Claudia. Do you want to tell a little bit about yourself to our listeners today?
Ladies first.
Thank you. Yes, my name is Claudia Zevalos, and I am from Arequipa, Peru. I'm very grateful for your invitation, Aileen. I think what you are doing is something very close to my heart. And I feel very lucky to be sitting here, not only talking with you, but sitting along the side of Kim Bass, who wrote and directed this movie, Tyson's Run, which has been getting such a great welcome by everyone from Latin America to the Caribbean to now here, just because it holds this incredible message about autism, and it's so close to my heart because my Aunt Lulu, by whom I was raised, was on the spectrum. So I, this is who I am, and I'm very grateful to be here.
It's good to have you.
Thank you.
And I'm Kim Bass, and as Ms. Zevalos was so kindly responsible of giving me too much credit for things. But yes, I am the writer and the director of the film Tyson's Run. And it's an absolute pleasure to be here with you, Aileen, representing this wonderful organization, Autism Speaks. And we both were really looking forward to this interview because, as Claudia said, you know, it's something that is close to our hearts. And for me, going through the process of making the film is what made me become even more aware of the challenges that many people who are on the spectrum are often presented with, and many times unfairly so. So this is a special moment for us in the life of this film. It's starting to gain more and more momentum, being seen by more and more people. And because of that, we have opportunities to meet wonderful people such as yourself, Aileen. And so we're grateful. And here we are. So
thank you for being here. Yeah, it's a pleasure having you both on the podcast. So Claudia, you talked a little bit about your connection to autism. I'm wondering if you have a connection to autism, Kim, or did it just come from the movie?
Well, I have some friends who have children who are on the spectrum. So I have been, I can't say involved, but I have certainly been around people who have been challenged in life because of their situation, that being on the autism spectrum. And oftentimes the difference between how one group of people treat another group of people based on just hearing autism has something I've observed. And as we began to get ready to make this film, of course, more and more study happened on my part because I was writing the screenplay. And the more I opened up to people with whom I was speaking, so many of them had connection, direct connections to autism in one way or another, whether it be in their own family, whether it be in their friend's family. And so, you know, things that weren't often said certainly came to light, and you realize how common it is for there to be people sort of living under the radar, when in fact it's not a very uncommon situation at all. It's I won't say it's normal, but it's normal that autism exists in all levels of society. And so that sort of became a point at which I learned more and more. And of course, having done this picture, I came to appreciate the challenges, but also the gifts that are often associated with being on the spectrum.
Yeah, you're right. And it's one in 36 children now being diagnosed with autism in the United States. So it's quite common, as you said. Claudia, do you want to tell us a little bit about the movie without giving it away too much for our listeners who haven't watched it yet?
Yes. To me, it really is about love, about unity, about believing in oneself. I really feel anybody who, after they watch this movie, they're going to think that anything is possible. That when you believe in yourself, you can do anything you'd like. That's what I, that was my takeaway from Tyson. That was my takeaway as playing Miss Fernandez, the Spanish teacher who helps Tyson throughout his journey. It was, aside from the movie, that's how it touched me personally. Just believing a lot more in myself.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
And there is a growing conversation about the importance of casting actors with disabilities, including autism, to play characters with those disabilities. Can you share your thought on this?
I'll jump in. So when we began to cast this picture, we worked with a wonderful casting director by the name of Lisa Hamill. And she, of course, wanted to make sure that this was an inclusive process. And so there were some agencies, apparently, specialty agencies, who were representing various people with quote unquote disabilities, some of them being on the spectrum. But what was interesting about her approach as a casting director, working with a director, she didn't want to put me in a box, so to speak, put me in a position where I was supposed to choose someone to play the role who happened to be on the spectrum. She wanted me as a director to have the freedom to choose the best actor for the role. And so, but unbeknownst to me, through all of her process of seeing various actors and then putting the sort of the smaller list together, who would be actors who would be seen by the director, she had already spotted one young man. I forgot how many we auditioned, maybe 350 young men, but young boys. And she had already spotted someone who was her favorite as a casting director, but allowed me to go through the process as the director. And the actor who was best for the role, in my opinion, as the director, happened to be on the spectrum, but I never knew that until after I had chosen that actor, and then was then informed after the fact that Major Dotson, who plays the role beautifully, happens to be an actor who is on the autism spectrum. And so, as far as I'm concerned, not only the right actor got the job, but the best actor got the job. So it was a win-win situation as far as I was concerned.
That's incredible. Yeah, it was on merit, right? It wasn't just because he was autistic, but it was because he was the best for the job. Yeah.
But we did, again, I'd like to stress the point that it was a mixture of actors. So some of them were on the spectrum and some were not. And I never knew who was on the spectrum and who was not on the spectrum. Mm. I just saw actors. But so it was not some sort of, you know, charity role. Mm-hmm. You know, the best actor came in and worked really, Major worked very hard on his character. And he came in and he was just an actor competing against other actors for a role that he really wanted to play. And he ended up showing us through his preparation and through his audition process that, you know, he would be the best actor for the role. And I think sometimes that's the way things are supposed to work. That to me is inclusion, meaning that you allow, even if it's from a specialty agency, put them all together and then let everyone do, you know, their best. And then based upon, as you said, Eileen, upon merit, you know, he won the role. But the inclusive part was to make sure that we had actors who were on the spectrum, you know, to be part of the auditioning process.
Yeah, that's incredible. I think it's a beautiful story. I don't know if you've told it outside of this podcast, but I love that. Did you have to make any accommodation to support the cast and the crew since you had autistic people working on the movie?
Well, we only a few key people were informed. And the only reason a few of those people were informed of the fact that Major was on the spectrum was just to sort of accommodate his needs. And there were very few, though. For example, he you don't have to be on the spectrum to be this way, but he prefers that people not be too loud, like lots of loud noise or mm-hmm. banging things. Okay. And so he can endure it, but I didn't see any need for him to have to endure anything like that. So it was just a matter of letting people who needed to be close to him, they don't need to shout mm-hmm. and not to, you know, drop big heavy things that make a big boom, things like that. But other than that, as the director, I realized that when we're doing scenes, sometimes you do a scene and we call it, let's pick it up from the middle, or you pick it up from a certain part in the scene. And the way that Major liked to work was doing a complete scene, starting from the beginning and going to the end. And once again, I'll stress that you don't have to be an actor on the spectrum in order to prefer to work that way. But that was sort of his method. But he was very good at memorizing dialogue, as Claudia is as well. They're both very good with dialogue. But sometimes when you're working with the other actors, they might flub a line or something. And rather than just pick it up right then and there, Major's method of working, his process would be, let's just start the scene from the top and work our way through. And so once in a while, I had to remind one or two of the other actors that we're not necessarily just going to pick it up from here. Let's just take it from the top. But that was really accommodating his process as an actor, as far as I was concerned, not accommodating any sort of need dictated by being on the autism spectrum. But as a person, like any other actor on a set, as the director, it's my job to make sure that all the actors are comfortable. So everybody has something. You know, one of our actors, you know, had a bad knee. Another actor, you know, didn't see so well during the late night shots, and to make sure the eye line was straight. So when you think about it in those terms, you know, you don't really have to point a finger at someone who's autistic. You just have to realize that every human being has some sort of need or some sort of difference that needs to be accommodated. And so it was just like working with any other person. And in his case, I'd like to start from the top.
Sounds like the cast was all very supportive and that it was a nice, I mean, working environment. You guys seem close and tight-knit. I mean, the way you speak about each other sounds warm.
Claudia, of course, started doing her own research about autism. And so did Rory Cochran, who played the father. The mother, Amy Smart, did the same thing. She did research. And Akilu was played by Barkhad Abdi, and his little girlfriend by Layla Felder. And so they all researched autism just so they knew what was happening for their characters in a movie working with someone who was on the spectrum. But I actually never told the actors, his opposite actors, that he was on the spectrum because I thought that would alter their performance. And they just needed to play their roles. That wasn't important to know that Major was actually on the spectrum. But I do remember after maybe one of the first scenes between Rory Cochran and Major, and Rory, who's a pretty veteran actor, after we did our first scene, he came to me and he said, "This kid is good."
You guys have any other projects, whether related to autism or not? What's in the work for both of you?
Well, I would say one thing I'd like to mention, we have another film that's out now also, and it's streaming on Stars, and you can be seen on, I guess, Apple and Hulu and various things. It's not specifically autism, but it deals with mental health and various degrees of that. And that film is called A Snowy Day in Oakland. So we continue to promote that film as well. And we seem to be in this space, Claudia, an on-screen personality more so than myself, of that being something we're also curating as it continues to garner an audience as well. So we have both films out right now, and they're both performing well. But I'll leave it to Claudia to tell you about the next project that she's going to be involved with.
The next project I'm involved in.
Not so much autism, but it's got some interesting things.
It's this film, which will be shot in Peru and Peruvian, and here, which I hope, I can only hope that it does come to fruition, and another film which will be shot in Bogota as well. And it's just been a blessing to be considered to be part of these projects.
I have one last question for you guys. Do you have any advice for actors who are on the spectrum and who might be too afraid to try and just do?
Just as you just said, just do. And I don't think that I just say this to actors who are just in the spectrum, because my mentality is just actors or a person, just do, because they might be afraid and to try, but I'm also afraid, you know? My best friend's also afraid. My mom is afraid. We're all afraid at certain times. So it's just not them who they're afraid, or they might be feeling not great about whatever thing they're not feeling great about. I don't feel many times great about many things. I mean, a friend of mine doesn't feel great about many things. We all are the same. We all don't feel great about many things many times, and we're all afraid about many things many times. So there is no difference. That's how I feel. Just do it. Because if you don't do it, then you will have regret of not doing it. And it's better to fall than not to fall at all.
And for me, my advice would be, don't allow a label that others have given you, whether it be doctors, your parents, your therapists, counselors, what have you. Mm-hmm. Don't allow that label to hold you back, because you didn't give yourself that label. Others did, based upon their perception of who you are or what you are or how you are. So I think sometimes it's just labeling people and allowing them to say, that's what you are, and that, you know, that's what you are. It holds you back. So forget about the label and just go do it. Being an actor is pretending. It's not real. Mm-hmm. It's pretending to be a character created out of nothing. And so from nothing can come everything. And that's just magic. So just, again, just be yourself, learn your lines, and go in and try. Because think about it. If 100 actors go in for the same role, only one is going to get the role anyway. So you have just as much of a chance to get the role as anyone else. Because 99% will not get it. But you know who definitely won't get it is the one who doesn't try. That's 100% assurance that you're not going to get it. And so go in, be that character, pretend to be this person who doesn't really truly exist anyway, and give your version of that character. And if that's the version the producers, the director, the studio executives are looking for, then that's the person who gets chosen to play this make-believe character. And being labeled as autistic doesn't mean anything. You can leave that label at the door and just go in and do your thing. Just do. That's my advice.
I think that's what people are going to take away from this podcast conversation. Just do, right? It reminds me of the quote, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. And that's what you want people to do. You got to try. So I want to thank you both for joining me today. It was amazing talking with you. And to our listeners, you can watch Tyson's Run on Netflix right now. You won't regret it. I'm sure you're dying to see it after listening to this episode. So just go watch it. Thank you.
Thank you, Eileen. We really appreciate it. And everyone, please enjoy the film. Thank you.